Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
And so we're not going to waste time this morning. I have a very short message for us today. It's just now 11 o'clock. You'll be out before the Baptists. Praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 14 today. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, every church service is subject to Holy Ghost movement, and if you don't understand what that means, hang around a while. Because you never know what's going to happen. But I know that God is still the same. He still saves, heals, and baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And He loves to do those things for people. Praise the Lord. And so we're standing in faith today, believing that God is going to minister to you. There are two ways that God ministers to us, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, what about the food? Well, when Jesus ministered the Word first, then He fed them. We got too much of this feeding and no word. Amen. The word of God's what's going to carry us through because Monday's coming. Say Monday's coming, somebody. And the world don't like us too well. But you know, the word of God is going to carry us through. We can get in the spirit real good on Sunday, and sometimes the Holy Ghost moves, and you know, we turn into holy rollers and all of that foolishness that the world talks about. No, it's not foolishness at all. But you see, tomorrow is coming, and you won't be that way. Right. Now, we could be, but let's just deal with it how it is. I mean, there's a time for everything, but we come down to a normal way of living, walking by faith and not by sight, and the feelings are gone, and the emotions are not moved anymore, and we're dealing with life. There's one thing going to carry us through, and that's the Word of God. That's the only thing going to carry us through. But thank God we have it today. Amen. Many lost their lives to give us the Word, and we have it today. We thank the Lord for it. Praise God. In Romans chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 7. And I realize what we're going to say this morning will be a little bit different. But ponder these things today. Verse 7 says, for none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Of course, this is talking about believers, all right? For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your eternal word. May it just energize us and quicken our mortal bodies today in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Praise God. Then we go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12 today, in verse 27, please. And what I really want to speak about this morning is something I mentioned to my little helpmeet a while back. And I'm so sick of hearing about the walking dead. The walking dead. You saw it on TV, anybody? The walking dead? It's the craziest thing to be shooting somebody that's already dead. Zombies. Now, there was a guy in Africa that didn't sleep for 1 year. He was a zombie. So I'm going to talk about the walking dead today. Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
The walking dead. In Mark chapter 12, verse 27, the Bible says, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. I understand today that there's 7 billion people alive on this planet. Of course, many in the villages of Africa and other remote areas of this world do not even have a birth certificate. We don't know how many people live in those mountainous regions. But we're guessing about 7 billion are more. But how many are alive? I'll explain it this way. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're alive. And if you're not born of the Spirit of God, you're a walking dead person. I want that to soak in. Because that show that's so silly is not so far off from the way it is. Now, we're going to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 today. One thing we know for sure, that if you are a child of God through the new birth, then God is your Father, and He is a person today that's born of woman. We've been made alive unto God. You see, a person today that's born of woman, every person that's born of a woman, they're born of the spirit, soul, and body, but their spirit is dormant and needs to be regenerated. Even though that young person is in the age of grace, and if that person would die physically, they would go to heaven. There's no question about that because they're in a state of innocence. Could have an amen. But you see, when that young person gets up to be to the age of accountability, about 12 or thereabouts, and they begin to understand what doing wrong is, what sin is, what breaking God's rules consists of, then that child must receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and become born of the Spirit of God, or they're in danger of going to hell. Now, I hate to say that, but it's true. You listen to me? There are so many people. There are two things that send a person to hell. Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. That'll seal it up right there. The only people who can blaspheme against the Holy Ghost are those that have known the power of God. The unsaved person can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But an unsaved person can reject the offer of salvation, even the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll put them in hell. It's my responsibility to bring everyone I preach and teach to a decision about their eternal welfare. Amen. It isn't easy to deal with the souls of men. But you know, we still believe that God saves a person's soul. Now, when a person becomes born of the Spirit of God, by accepting what Jesus did on the cross for them, which was make a payment for what that person owed, the sin debt that we could not pay, God sent His Son into this world to pay the price for our salvation, which He did. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Amen there. But you see, it's a tragedy to know that you need to be saved, but then you don't accept God's offer and pardon of forgiveness and eternal life. That would doom a person. So, there are many people on this earth that are in a spiritual problem, and it's a spiritual death that's operating in them. That's the reason Jesus said in St. John chapter 3 and verse 35 that you must be born again. Amen. Nicodemus said, how can a man go back into the womb of his mother and be born again? And Jesus said, that which is flesh, that which is spirit, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus should have knew about this truth, but it slips from people's minds over the generations. Now, we know today that if you're going to be a son of God and you want to be a daughter of God or a son of God, you must come God's way. There's only one way, and that is the way of the cross. Amen. There is no other way to be reconciled to God. Here's the good deal about it. The Father God's already reconciled to everybody on this earth. He isn't against people. Jesus paid for every person's salvation that will ever be born. But if that person does not come to a decision of making Jesus the Lord of your life through an act of faith, confession, dedication, commitment, submission, so forth and so on, to the known will of God, then that person did not receive the blessing. Now, God wants us all to be blessed today. Amen. Spiritual blessings, spiritual riches are the greatest riches. Because you'll live forever. You'll not be a walking dead person forever. I'm convinced today, and you are convinced, I'm sure, that going through the week dealing with people, you run into spiritual zombies that are walking dead people because they do not know God in their spirit. So the flesh is connected to the world. But the spirit man is connected to God. Now, if you're not regenerated your spirit, you're not connected to God. That's what the Bible says, a lost person. Do we realize what a lost person is? Have we forgotten how we were? Lost. Going to hell, and nobody seemed to care. Oh, there was one believer that cared and witnessed to you the gospel. There was one preacher that preached, this is right and this is wrong. Make your decision today. And thank God we made the right decision and came to our knees receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen. Makes a difference of heaven and hell, everybody. Amen. It's all about a decision. It's all about what we do with God's offer. So you see, in 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son has life. But he that has not the Son has not life. In other words, if a person does not have the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, in his life, he's a walking dead person. That person cannot enter into heaven because they have not been born from above. Are you born from above? That's the question today in the church, the house of God. Amen. You're going to have to answer that. It's a spiritual regenerative effect. Amen. If you didn't get changed, you didn't get it. I'm talking about a birth inside of you. Do you have it? Well, I joined the church. Won't work. I believe. The devil believes. So you see, we need to judge ourselves and make sure our name is still in the book, because Jesus said it to that church in Revelation, if you don't repent, I'm going to blot your name out of the book. Yep. Now, they were saved, but they could lose out if they didn't get straightened up. Yep. Amen? So the Word of God serves then to keep us straightened up. Amen. And right with the Lord, rapture ready when Jesus returns. Now, praise God. I want to go to something in Genesis chapter 3 this morning, please. And we'll start with verse 22 there in just a minute. But I want to take our minds back now to the beginning. Everybody say the beginning. All right. We know that Genesis teaches and Moses wrote about God creating Adam from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Therefore, every person that comes from the loins of Adam is a living soul. That means you're going to live somewhere. Up there or down there with the walking dead. Now, you can't get out of it. So, how many of you think it'd be a good deal to go to the Father's house? Oh, Lord. Where the gates of pearl, mansions of transparent gold, streets transparent gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds as pebbles along the street, children playing, no devil, no sin, no dying, no graveyards. How many of you think it'd be a good place to go? Well, the Lamb's the light, praise God. The Father God sits on the throne on the top. The angels are singing without number. No, there will be those in that day that will stand before God, the Father God, all colors, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. There is only one race. I'm sick of racism. There's only one race. We all came from Adam and Eve. But Adam sinned and sold the farm. When he did, he spiritually died. Therefore, everyone that's born of a woman is born spiritually dead, then must be born again. And you can be, but it only comes one way. Then we go to, like I said, in Genesis 3:22. I'm going to lay this on you now, and I don't know how many can accept it, but just think about it, all right? But it's what I believe to be some revelation. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us. Now, so Adam sinned. His eyes were open. You see, Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, you know, God's holding out on you. If you eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be God. And so, when God planted the trees in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees that were the focal point. And because Adam was created a free moral agent, God must give Adam a choice. Everybody say choice. The choice was, you may eat the tree of life and live forever. The second choice, do not eat the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you do, you shall surely die. We know the story. He ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he spiritually died. However, Adam was not created to die. It took him 900 years to die. So we look at the scripture now. Behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Now, God has never created evil. He cannot create evil. He cannot do evil. God knows about evil, but he cannot be evil or he would not be God. The devil is the one that brought evil into the world. Sin, sickness, disease, heartache, sorrow, depression, suffering. The devil is the one that brought it into the world because Adam sold the farm to the devil. So God said, and now lest he put forth his hand, listen now, lest he put forth his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now I want you to get a hold of this. Talk about the walking dead, what could have been. You see, it was the grace of God that drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. Because when Adam fell, everyone that would come from his loins also fell. In Adam, all die. So, if I could speculate just a minute, Adam wanted to try to fix it. So, he was trying to get back in the garden to eat the tree of life so he would live forever. The problem was, if Adam would have partook of the tree of life, he would have lived forever as a walking dead, living in sin, and so would you and I for all eternity. You're talking about a walking dead, man. That's exactly what that show depicts, and that's exactly the way it would have been. And so, the Lord God sent him forth, verse 23, from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. And to back up what I said in verse 24, so he, God, drove out the man. Why? I explained it. And he placed at the east end of the garden cherubims and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There are people who took the tree of knowledge of good and evil which were rebelling against God. And so God said, if they take the tree of life, if Adam gets back in here, he will be a walking dead person for all eternity, can't die, and every offspring will be just like him. So God said, no, I can't allow that. We're going to keep Adam out of the garden, lest he eats the tree of life and lives forever in sin. Could you imagine? Folks, think about it. Turn to somebody and say, think about it, will you? No, I wouldn't want to live in that type of environment. But it'll be worse than that in hell. Then we go to John chapter 12 and verse 32. How many understood what I tried to say there? Anybody? One or two. Well, that's pretty good odds, I guess. But there is another tree. There is another tree. Thank God that we can partake of today. We can't go back to Eden. No. But God provided another tree. And the fruit of that tree is called the bread of life. Amen. Glory to God. And Jesus said in St. John 12 and verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And so the Son of God was nailed to a tree. Verse 33 says, this signified what death he should die. It's as simple as the Bible as God can make us can make it so we can understand. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, signifying he'd be lifted up between heaven and earth and placed on a tree called a cross. which today is a tree of life for everyone that will partake. Thank God, God had a plan. Thank God he had a plan. Satan would not win. God will win. Hallelujah. Then we look quickly at Acts chapter 5 and verse 30 this morning. Hallelujah. The apostle said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Acts 5:30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew," or "who you killed and hanged on a tree." Then we go to Galatians 3, chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3:13 this morning. Christ has redeemed us. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. In Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. If a person is not in Christ today, via the new birth, they're walking dead. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so when the human race broke God's rules, His Ten Commandments in those days, the curse of the broken law was placed on people. We all inherited that curse through Adam. But thank God, God provided a sacrifice. I said God provided a sacrifice. Back in the Old Testament times, they were required. It was not optional. They were required to bring the best animal, a little lamb, for the sins of their family. The man had to do it. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Not the wife, not mama. The man brought the lamb. And those children loved that lamb. And that little lamb would live in their house. And those children loved that lamb. But that day would come, and the very thing that was closest to the family had to be sacrificed to God. And God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over." That's the same promise today. Is the blood of the Lamb on your life today? That's the question. And it's an all soul searching question today, but it's still relevant. Glory to God. They would bring that lamb. And if God would accept that lamb, which represented Jesus, God would not judge and pass sentence upon the family, and their sins would be covered for a year, and they'd go home free, rejoicing in the great God Jehovah's provisions. When Abel brought his sacrifice in the very beginning there in the book of Genesis, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Because God rejected Cain's sacrifice, Cain was rejected. You hear what I'm saying? Which means there's only one way to be right with God. That is to accept His sacrifice for our sins. We don't bring a lamb anymore. No, we don't have to do that. Because when God sent the living word to the Virgin Mary some 2,000 years ago, an excellent voice came from heaven that takes away the sin of the world. An excellent voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." Praise God. But His Son worked 3.5 years in supernatural ministry, day and night on this earth, as a Son of Man. He went to the garden and prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." No answer. Meaning, Jesus didn't really want to go to the cross, but He knew it was the Father's will to go as the Lamb of God. So all those sins from the past, year after year, piled up, piled up, piled up, until Jesus went to the cross and was nailed to the cross, and there supernaturally, the Father God put the entire sins of the human race upon His Son. He bore the iniquity of many. How could God do that? God can do whatever He wants. This is the gospel. God put your sins and my sins on the Son of God on the cross. And he suffered 6 hours on the cross with nails and hands and feet and beat to a pulp with a whip and crown of thorns. And we can't imagine how bad it was. There is no movie that can depict the horror of the agony of the cross of Golgotha. But I can assure you the Father God had to turn away and said, I can't take it. I'm tempted to take my son off the cross. I'm turning away. And Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus, after 6 long hours of paying the price for your sins and mine, so that we would not have to live in eternal damnation and not have to be a walking dead person on this earth, but could be made alive unto God Almighty. Amen. He said, Father, it's finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But before he gave up the ghost, he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Glory to God. The Lord's Spirit went down into paradise and preached the spirits there. After 3 days and 3 nights, he arose. Come out of the grave, took all the Old Testament saints with him up to heaven. Praise God. And now the resurrection, they got the crucifixion and the resurrection is the message. The only way we can be born again and be made right with God is to believe that God's Son died on the cross. Can I have an amen? He died. The soldiers put a spear in his side and blood and water came forth, signifying he was already dead and they'd break not his legs. They took him down to the cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb. But he came out, as the Bible says. He was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. In Acts chapter 1, they were on the hill and they watched Jesus go back up into heaven and disappear. And two angels stood by and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing into heaven? Why are you standing here looking into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw go up to heaven is going to come back in like manner as you've seen him go. But the Lord had previously commanded them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Ghost. He commanded them to go back to heaven and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, when I get back to heaven, I'll send him. I'll send him. Glory to God. That's how I know Jesus went back and sat on the right hand of the Father God till all his enemies be made his footstool. That's how I know he made it back there. That's how I know he's coming again, because he sent the blessed Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Glory to God. And they turned the world upside down. Praise God. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, child of God. Cheer up, everybody. Amen. If God is for you, who in the world can be against you? The greater one lives in you. You cannot be defeated. You hear what I'm saying? The greater one, Jesus Christ himself, by the Holy Spirit, lives in you. You cannot be defeated. Always suffer setbacks, but we bounce back. Praise God. God will make sure we always win every battle. You hear what I said? There's no temptation coming upon you that he will not make a way of escape. You'll be able to bear it. Glory to God. Every trial and test that comes into our life, brothers and sisters, is screened by God. He will not allow a greater test to come into your life without making a way of escape. But in the process, you'll know him better. You'll be more anointed. The anointing doesn't come cheap. It comes with a price. You must be purged from the old man and crucified with Jesus on the cross. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. You got to die. You hear what I'm saying? That old evil, you must be crucified. It will not get into heaven. Let's say, for example, if I go by the way of the grave and who knows what's going to happen, the old Randy will not come out. It'll be the new one. Glory to God. The new you I'm a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That occurred when you received Jesus, the resurrection. That occurred in the moment of time when you partook the fruit of the tree of life. Jesus said he was the bread that came down from heaven. Glory to God. You don't receive eternal life by receiving communion either, nor water baptism. It is bare faith in the Son of God. But listen to me. Everybody's hearing the Word of God today. God has given you enough faith to receive from His hand. So the choice is this. Do you believe or not believe? If you believe, you will commit your life to Him and quit playing around with your eternal welfare. Hell's no joke. God created hell for the devil and his angels. He never wanted any human being to go there. But if people reject Jesus' offer of salvation, they will go there. Breaks the heart of God. What's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with you? If we've lost a burden for the lost souls of walking dead, we're backslid. By the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I would be out there in the ditch, drunkards. Come on, somebody. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the love of God, and somebody caring enough to witness to you, Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of sin. The Baptist preached it right. Thank God for him. Now just say this prayer, you'll be saved. No, you must repent of your sin, turn to Christ as your only hope. Thank God he is the blessed hope of the church. Thank God he's never failed one. He cannot fail. But he requires a decision. Your will is involved. You were created a free moral agent, and you must choose life or choose death. That is your decision. And I hope you choose life. But if you fail to choose life, you choose death. And so, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Do you hear that? Jesus became cursed for us. Yet he was hated and despised. He never committed a sin. Yet he was hated and despised and rejected. And you can't take a little reproach from the ungodly. How much Holy Ghost have you got anyway? I'm not ashamed to name the name of Jesus here or anywhere. Because that name is above every name in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. That the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Glory to God. What's He require of man today? What's He require of women today? One thing. Give your heart to God while you can. Don't put it off. Too many people put it off listening to the lies of the devil. Oh, one of these days. As I closed this morning, I remember a man years ago when I used to go to the nursing home. I'd go in there and witness to him. He would get right up to the decision. See, it's all about a decision and a commitment that you must make. We don't throw stones at people. We want to help them get in the ark. That's the purpose. I'd go in there and witness to him. Right up to the decision. He says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, why? Well, I may want to get out of this place and take a drink. That was his excuse. Everybody has an excuse, but there will be no excuse come judgment day. The minister of the gospel must deliver his soul. And I said, sir, what makes you think you're going to get out of this rest home? There was a man in Yosha, Missouri one time. We'd go up there and have a little church service for them years ago. And this little gal, she said, "Preacher, would you go and see my grandpa? He's lost. He's lost! There is in the bed, wasting away, rotting away." Could you imagine living that way and never really dying if Adam would have took that fruit? It'd have been a living hell for the entire human race. But God in His mercy had a plan. I'd go in and see him and tell him about Jesus. He began to cuss and take God's name in vain. That'd have put you in hell. And so I couldn't do anything with him. Next Sunday I went back. And I said, "Sir, see, when you got a captivated audience, you must preach." He couldn't get out of the bed. I said, "Look, just be quiet. I'm going to tell you the gospel." "Oh." And I told him the gospel, how to be saved and everything. Next week I go back. He rejected, by the way. He rejected. I go back next Sunday and the bed's empty. And I asked the nurse, "Where'd the old man go?" She said, "He died last night." I witnessed to a man that was a Church of Christ. God bless the Church of Christ, but you're going to be more than water baptized to be saved. Any religious organization that says they're the only church that's saved is false. We got people all over this earth. I don't care what the name of your church is. You're either in Christ or you're not. I get upset at religion because religion contributed to the death of the Son of God. Satan is the one that come up with this religious stuff. "Oh, light a few candles, this and that. You'll be all right, lying devil." Shut up. There's only one way to get right with God. You've got to make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life, or you're not going to make it. And you've got to stay in the boat. But how do I stay in the boat? Same way you got in. You get in by faith, and you stay in by faith. And even me, after 40 years, I said, "Lord, please forgive me of that." You see, the Bible doesn't teach sinless perfection, so get your nose out of the air.
Yeah. Amen.
One day we will be sinlessly perfect when the trumpet sounds. And we'll lay aside this fleshly, vile body for a new one.
Amen.
There's so many people. They're just walking dead people. No purpose in life, no meaning, no hope. No hope. But folks, if you're a child of God, there's hope for you.
Amen.
I know we look at each other today and we think, how can God make anything out of that mess? Well, all right, we're all messes in. Praise God. No, we're redeemed messes. Hallelujah. You need to join hard to the church. Because the church... it's the only thing getting out of here. Don't forsake the house of the Lord. Don't take yourself out from under the preaching of the Word of God because it's able to save your soul. Glory to God. The Word of God washes us and cleans us up every time we submit to it. And so Jesus was cursed for us. Cursed is everyone that is hanged on a tree. I want you to put that back up. Cursed is everyone that is hanged on a tree. Dear God. Such love. Don't tell me God doesn't love us. Jesus endured the joy of the cross. And we can't even carry our little cross. You know what? These limp-wristed Christians are not going to make it. Tighten that Holy Ghost belt and get serious about this thing. Make sure Jesus is number one in your life. Because He is the blessed hope of the church. And so, have you partaken of the fruit of the tree?
We hope you enjoy today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.